This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
We went to Legoland with my daughter and her two children some years ago, and she quietly pointed out to me two celebrities enjoying time with their children. It was Tess Daly and her husband, Vernon Kay. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been up close to famous people before, people you admire, but it seems to be the natural thing to do, doesn't it, to sidle up for a better view, whilst at the same time pretending you're not looking directly at them when in fact you really are trying to see their faces more clearly and note what they look like in real life. But it is only right for personalities to have time for themselves and not be looked on as public property. But a similar situation happens in our gospel reading today. John the Baptist sees Jesus near and he points him out to two of his disciples, calling him the Lamb of God, one who takes away the sins of the world. And immediately both disciples, John and Andrew, are interested and they seek a way to engage with him. We'll hear more about their meeting with Jesus after our first song, Jesus, Lamb of God, which is from my album, The Christmas Story. The children of Central Middle School, Wallsend, sang this with me many years ago now.
Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Mary's Son, we worship you.
So here's our Bible reading for today from John 1, beginning to read at verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain upon him, and I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked them, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, which means, "Teacher, where are you staying?" "Come," he said, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Our next song is Pia Jesu by Andrew Lloyd Webber, sung by a group called Angelis, made up of 6 children aged 11 to 14. And this recording is taken from their album Angelis, released in 2006. It ends with the words, "Agnus Dei, Lamb of God, Father, who takes away the sins of the world, grant them rest, everlasting rest." John the Baptist began preaching strange truths following Jesus' baptism. First of all, addressing him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, indicating how things would end for him as one who would die as a sacrifice in order to save the world. I wonder, was he thinking of the words of Isaiah the prophet, who told of the one to come who would be a suffering servant, the Lamb for the sacrifice, one who would go meekly to the slaughter. In Isaiah 53, he writes, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." Let's listen to a lovely hymn based upon these words by Graeme Kendrick, and it's called "Led Like a Lamb."
Led like a lamb to the slaughter, in silence and shame. There on your back you carried a world of violence and pain. Bleeding, dying, dying. You're alive, you have
gloriously sung there by the one who wrote that song, Graham Kendrick. John the Baptist may also have been reflecting upon the story of Abraham, a man who once believed God was telling him to sacrifice his only son, just as he was about to carry out what he thought God had commanded him to do. God stopped him and directed him to a ram caught in the thicket, and this creature was taken and slain in the place of his son, thus saving him from death. Another Lamb of God. I've played this song before from my album Kaleidoscope of Characters, which tells the story of Abraham and Isaac.
Abraham was tested, oh so sorely tested. He just got a message from the living God. Go down to Moriah, sacrifice your boy there. Burn him as an offering, then report to me. Early the next morning, as the day was dawning, saddled up his donkey, set off on his way. Isaac travelled with him, trusting and unknowing, lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham looked grim. Come to your daddy, my little laddie, don't think badly of me, I've a job to do. Put him on an altar and he didn't falter, raised his knife to slay him, then he heard a voice. Abraham, don't hurt him, lay no hand upon him, now God knows you're faithful, offered him your son. Now what takes the biscuit from a nearby thicket? Abraham found a ram there, offered it instead.
John the Baptist would also have known about a lamb which was sacrificed in the story of Moses. God had sent Moses to set his people, the Hebrews, free from slavery in Egypt and sent 10 plagues to persuade the Pharaoh to let them go. The last plague was the worst. The angel of death was to visit Egypt and kill the firstborn in every house. But God gave Moses instructions to kill a lamb and smear its blood over the doorways of every Hebrew home, so the angel of death would pass over it and not kill their firstborn. From that time on, this rescue event would be celebrated and known as the Passover each year. It's interesting to note that Jesus was also crucified right on Passover. It could have been at any other time in the year, but no, it was precisely at that very time that his blood flowed too on the cross. Let's listen to Northumbria Community singing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory count but loss and poor cause.
John the Baptist also spoke in fulfillment of another prophecy when he added, "This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" Now everyone knows that Jesus was born after John, so what did he mean by "because he was before me"? These words may have been an echo of an ancient prophecy by Micah, when he said that there would come a ruler, a king from out of Bethlehem, who would be from ancient times. In Micah 5:2 we read, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Here's Bethlehem in the land of Judah, which tells of this prophecy, also from the album Kaleidoscope of Characters.
Bethlehem in the land of Judah,
land of Judah,
out from you will come a ruler,
come a ruler,
one from ancient times. Israel will be abandoned, stand and shepherd Israel.
John the Baptist also claimed that he was the one chosen to be a voice in the wilderness, making the way ready for the Messiah who was to come, and to announce him when he came. This was why he was pointing him out to John and Andrew, saying, "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." So here he was claiming to be the fulfillment himself of yet another prophecy, this time by Isaiah. In chapter 40, we read, "A voice of one calling, 'Prepare the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground will become smooth, and the rugged land a plain.'" John the Baptist still calls us all today to get ready to receive Jesus into our hearts. Here from the music Godspell is "Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord."
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
I had a very interesting conversation with a passerby called John in our local shopping centre recently while our Wallsend Church's Working Together choir sang carols. He was very open about not believing in God and I was grateful for his honesty and his openness with me. I think a lot of people believe today, as he does, that Jesus' death was just one of many crucifixions carried out by the Romans, and that there was nothing special about this one death among tens of thousands. So I began explaining some of the prophecies which foretold of the coming Messiah, about 200 of them, that all came true in one person at that very time, like jigsaw pieces of a puzzle all coming together to form the perfect picture. Now, I can't remember who made the following comparison, but it went something like this, that the chances of all these prophecies being fulfilled in just one person are the equivalent of a wind blowing through a junkyard, bringing together all the pieces of metal together and coming up with a jumbo jet. It's as unlikely as that. Jesus' story was recorded by many writers, non-Christians as well as Christian writers. The fact that he actually lived is not disputed, and that's something to think about this coming year, when we believe his death was just one among many. The disciples, John and Andrew, left John the Baptist and sought Jesus out, and Jesus invited them for a meal and a chat. I would love to have been a fly on the wall then. I bet they had loads of questions to ask him. I wonder what question you would have asked if you'd been them. What would yours be today? These two disciples stayed all day with him, and the first thing Andrew did was to seek out the person closest to him, to tell him about Jesus too. And he brought his brother Simon Peter to him. Good news shouldn't be kept to ourselves. And so we finish with a prayer you might like to echo with me. Lord God, this day is yours. May your will be done in and through me. My mouth is yours. Let me speak words that will glorify you and point people to Jesus. Equip me for the battles I will face today, and open my eyes to see the people around me the way you do, and help me live out your peace and patience in my life. Amen. It's time for us to say our goodbyes now. Our time is up. Andrew, what have you got to say?
Bye, everyone.
And bye from me. Our final song more or less says it's time to tell our story of faith before evening comes. It says the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Here's Matt Redman singing Bless the Lord. Bye for now.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. Thank you.
soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless You, Lord. When my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then 40.